The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. From the Department of Philosophy, it's Professor Beth Oljar.
I wasn't prepared for that, and then I spilled my water.
I'm sorry. I wasn't prepared either. But it's unrehearsed. Unrehearsed.
We'll get you a beer.
I could use one, actually.
To Beth's left, from the Department of Communication Studies, it's Professor Jason Roach.
And I'm happy to be here, as always.
Saw a wonderful little flowchart on the internet the other day. This would be for the wildcard games. I don't know who to root for the playoffs. And then you asked and answered these questions to decide which team you should support. And the final question on the whole chart was, are you a fan of the Rust Belt? If the answer was no, you were supposed to root for the A's. If it was yes, there was one more question. Do you fancy having a manager who's like the father you never had or the grandfather you never had? And the final choice was Indians or Tigers. So there you go. It pretty much breaks it down easily.
Jim, the grandfather you never had?
I believe that Jim Leland and his chain-smoking, toilet paper buying in the middle of a radio interview the other day, apparently, weighs. He's the grandfather.
But he can do the moonwalk.
Oh, man. He can do the moonwalk. I've never seen him happier. Professor Dan Maggio of the First Corporation, I'm just assuming you're a Tigers fan. Is that reasonable to say?
Yes, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
I don't really.
Do you know who we're talking about?
I know who you're talking about.
You're more of a cricket.
I went to a game this year.
Okay. Okay.
You went to a game.
I did.
Wow. What game did you go to?
One of the ones.
One of the ones when they were playing baseball.
Was it played at Comerica Park?
Yes, it was played at Comerica Park. They were playing. I think they're playing Kansas City.
Okay.
And I was sitting section
in a seat
right where the third baseline home run comes
nice.
Down.
Nice
section there.
So very cool. Is it the first time you've been to Comerica Park?
No, second.
Oh, okay. All right. That's good. As long as the number isn't zero, we're proud.
Aww. Thank you.
Hey, the number isn't even zero for me.
It's cheaper than trying to go to a Red Wings game.
That is for sure.
Yeah.
That is for sure. Lots of new rivals for the Wings, too, now they're in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, with Toronto.
Right? Big deal.
Catch a Toronto game.
Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
How do you feel about the Wings going to the Atlantic division?
Not an issue. Not an issue at all.
They'll do fine.
Okay, that's not exactly what I meant, but when you said not an issue, it was almost as if, I don't care, Mayo. I'm from Medicine.
It's still hockey. I'm still going to watch regardless. I just like
Yeah, but don't you want to see Wings, Leafs? I mean, that's
I will miss the Chicago series, though.
Except for now, we could meet in the cup final.
I know, but still, it's still hockey to me.
Okay.
As long as they play. I'm actually looking for a Tigers game, so.
Fast man on ice with sticks,
I've already got,
as Kathy would put it.
Let's see, I just dropped $600 on Tigers tickets.
For Monday?
Monday, Tuesday, and then series.
For how
Listen
many people?
To you.
Pardon?
For how many people? For you and Marcy?
Originally, I had four for Monday, and, you know, so that's already taken. And then game four and second game of second round.
Of ALCS. Nice.
Hopefully, I don't get the refund, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Knock on wood.
It will be used.
So, I'm fairly certain.
So don't case my house on the game nights, okay?
Right, exactly.
You know, we have a Bouvier in the front yard.
Stuffed or live?
Amongst the landmines, yes.
Professor Jim Tubbs, I think I'm pretty sure I know where your allegiances are. I've run into you at multiple Tigers games.
Yes, how are you?
Sounds pretty good. How are you?
Good.
You're wearing blue. That's part of orange and blue, that's
yes,
for sure.
Yes, definitely. And you're wearing the orange.
I got the orange. I'm wearing Verlander today so as not to jinx him tomorrow.
There you go.
We'll see how old brown and blue eyes does tonight on the mound, right?
At least neither of them is on the cover of Sports Illustrated
yes,
this week.
That's no that is the kiss of death right there. Who is on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
I don't know. I haven't looked.
I think it was the Braves.
Good.
They lost bad last night. So, oh, it was the Braves. Okay, our producer is telling me
okay.
It definitely was the Braves. Yeah. Oh, now I remember because the two Uptons are play for the Braves and they're right. on the cover with Kate
with
Upton.
The other Upton.
Yeah, fantastic. Uh-huh. The old good luck charm herself, I'm sure. Her Majesty's looking forward to seeing that cover. Professor Kendra Evans from Chemistry and Biochemistry, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Excellent. Anything else to say?
I was just going to say hello.
Hello.
That's cool, because I've got a few things I got to throw out there. Like, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you can win a prize. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP. Please do not slash the ATPs. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166 or send the questions USPS to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. We have a bit of direct correspondence.
Uh-oh.
From Kimberly Richards. You'll remember we answered a set of her questions on one of our recent shows. I'd like to point out that her emails end with, let me make sure I say this right, quando omni fluncus moritati, when all else fails,
means...
play dead.
Oh.
Hi, Matt. To answer the panel's question, yes, the New Orleans, the only non-New York episode of Saturday Night Live, the New Orleans episode of SNL, was broadcast Mardi Gras, February 20th, 1977, and featured Jane Curtin and Buck Henry offering comedic commentary on the parade. The intro to the show was live from Mardi Gras. It's Saturday night. Seems about as foreign as
anything
you can imagine. So thank you, Kimberly, for the value-added information.
I can sleep soundly at night now.
So. Yes, absolutely. When last we left our heroes, we were taking some questions from Amy Dixon of Port Angeles, Washington. And we should finish those up before we continue to this week's prof special, which I think is going to be Beth. We'll decide during the break. It's Beth. We're done.
Okay. That was easy.
What is Hershey's chocolate most popular product by sales?
The Hershey bar?
Hershey
it
Kiss?
It is not either of those things.
Oh. Hershey cocoa, the powdered.
It is not.
Oh.
It is ironically a product
it's not
with
chocolate.
A different company's name on it.
Nestle Crunch Bar?
Nope. That's made by Nestle.
Yeah. Well, but he said it had their...
It's just a different brand that's owned by Hershey, but I don't know what other brands they own. What
that's the key. Oh. It's everybody's favorite. Nestle everybody Nestle likes these two flavors together.
Peanut butter and chocolate?
Reese's?
It's Reese's peanut butter cups.
Peanut butter cups.
Absolutely.
Oh. I didn't know they made Reese's.
So
the best.
What's Hershey's best-selling product? Well, Reese's, of course. It makes perfect sense.
Blame it on
your peanut butter and my chocolate.
My cousins from Australia come over here. They can't get those down there. So whenever they're over here, they stock up on Reese's
they can't
peanut butter.
Get
why?
I don't know.
As a contraband?
They have Vegemite
a lot of
instead.
People do. Outside the U.S. don't like peanut butter
seriously,
for some reason.
Can't get a peanut butter sandwich there, but you
butter.
Can get plenty of Vegemite.
Again.
Who was the first United State to ratify the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery?
New Hampshire?
It wasn't New Hampshire.
Massachusetts?
It wasn't Massachusetts.
New York?
It was a not surprising state. To ratify
Illinois,
the 13th Amendment. It was Illinois,
oh,
yes.
Right. I was going to go Indiana.
Home state of El Presidente.
El Presidente.
At the time. At the time. Well, and right now, indirectly. How many states is Barack Obama from? I'm afraid he wasn't born here. He's from Hawaii, he's from Illinois, he's from Washington.
Wait, yes. I thought it was Kenya.
That's
oh,
right.
Yeah,
right.
That's the 51st
right.
state.
He's a strapping young Kenyan Muslim socialist.
Oh, my God.
Not as young and strapping as he used to be, though, by
right.
his own account.
Right.
Most socialist, as most people thought.
Worst socialist ever, that guy.
Exactly. What's the difference between a casket and a coffin?
I know that one.
$1,000.
Coffin is the six-sided wooden box that is still in use in
four, right?
like Great Britain, whereas a casket is any kind of container
rectangular.
That's rectangular.
It's rectangular. That is exactly what it says here. Coffins are six-sided. They used to call
the empires.
Them toe pinchers.
A friend of mine who's a mortician explained that to me.
Oh,
one time.
My.
So would a Rubbermaid bin count as a casket?
Yes, actually it would.
Okay.
Because casket is also used as just a generic box that you put stuff in. You
sure.
know?
Oh, that's
a
right.
lidded box.
That's right.
And what about a sarcophagus?
That's different.
A little
that's
decorated.
Like body shape.
It reminds me, of course, of my classic story from finally putting the pressure on my dad, who's sort of a weekend warrior carpenter, to help me make some coffins, which were six-sided, for my Halloween props. And the neighbors knew that my dad had very, very recently, within the last month when we got to working, retired. And the guy, Bob, from next door comes up and goes, John,
oh,
I think you think you're rushing things just a little bit. Like, I know you just retired, but...
I'm planning on relaxing in my retirement.
He's like, no, this is my crazy son. He's got some crazy crap going on.
Oh, you're going to off your son, are you?
It's for his friends.
What is the world's southernmost capital? That is a great question.
Ooh.
That has a definitive answer.
Not Johannesburg.
It is not.
Is it New Zealand?
Further south.
What's
it
New
is
Zealand?
New Zealand.
Auckland?
Auckland.
Wellington. The name of the boots. Wellies. Everybody wears Wellies now, right? What comedian was a drummer in the early days of the band Steely Dan? I know I've heard this one before, too.
John Candy?
It wasn't John Candy. In that era, though, in that era, still alive, fairly recently, was really big on TV.
Not Steve Martin.
Or John Belushi.
No.
Fairly recently was on an actual TV show.
It wasn't Jim Hodor.
The TV show was a wonderful parody of modern community college academia.
Chevy Chase.
Wow.
Chevy Chase.
Wait a minute. Steely Dan is like my second favorite band.
I'm guessing they didn't record by the time he was in the band.
Yeah.
But
I have never seen his name on any album credits.
Okay, Adam, we need some crack research to make sure we can prove this here later.
I'm skeptical.
Get Chevy on the phone.
I want him now.
Hello, Chevy. Oh my. What actor played the blacksmith on the TV show Gunsmoke? Definitely his younger days, I can tell you that much.
Bruce Borgnine?
No.
I can picture him. It's not.
We need an
dated Lonnie Anderson. What was his name?
Oh, very good. I love how you can make the connections.
Yeah, Lonnie Dave. Anderson. Everything goes back to Lonnie Anderson.
of course.
Oh. Kind of frightening.
No.
Lonnie Anderson.
They were the couple in the 80s. Lonnie Anderson and who?
Burt Reynolds.
Thank you.
There we go.
I love how that picture him, but Gunsmoke? Yes. Without a mustache.
Clearly.
What's the world coming to?
He started out as a football player in Florida.
Oh, that's right.
Why don't I find that hard to believe? Mm-hmm. Then was it Longest Yard and all those other...
The first consumer products that were mass-produced from plastic were what?
Forks.
They weren't forks, but I like the way you think.
Spatula.
If you keep that shape and go to a different part of the body, you're all set.
Huh?
Good what?
Keep that shape and go to a different part of the body?
What?
Sorry, I didn't know that was this kind of shit.
It made sense to me in my mind.
Eating utensils?
No, we're not eating utensils.
Oh. Are they rakes?
Not rakes.
Combs.
They were combs. They were hair combs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm thinking like patellas. Where's he going with that?
Yeah.
Hair combs, absolutely. Makes sense. Nice defined shape.
In your mind.
In my mind, it made sense.
It sounded better in your head.
That's pretty much every other question now that I think about it. Who were the original five members of the infamous Rat Pack?
Okay.
Dean Martin, Sammy Davis Jr.
Frank Sinatra?
The one that was...
Joey Bishop?
Joey Bishop and...
Yeah.
Peter Lawford.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Kennedy in-law.
I was going to say Peter Lorre, but I knew that wasn't it.
Oh, no, yeah. It's not Peter Lorre, but think about it while we take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
1995.
Thank you.
You're after welcome. Whom are Baby Ruth candy bars named?
President Kidd's wife. No. The president's
president's
kid. Kid, that's right. Grover Cleveland's daughter.
Yeah.
Ruth.
Yeah. Was that an illegitimate
kid? Yes. She's the one that, you know.
Is that where's my pa?
Gone to the White House.
That's right.
No, that was the Kennedy years.
No, that was Grover Cleveland. Mayor of Buffalo. Hey.
But now, aren't the ads trying to make some connection between Babe Ruth and...
Because they're written by idiots.
Oh,
because
they don't know.
That's right. They're stupid.
Oh, they're
people.
Not like intentionally misleading.
No,
they just don't know.
Stupid people. Oh. Uneducated,
what?
Stupid people.
People in advertisement are stupid, Edwin? Is that
yes.
what you're trying to
Edwin is leaving out the crucial point. They're uneducated, they're stupid, highly paid people.
That's
just
right.
They are but paid. We're not bitter, okay. I'll say
no,
that.
No, not us.
We're too big for that.
We're generous of spirit.
And we are back with our crack research team coming through for us. Indeed, Chevy Chase was part of the band that became Steely Dan. When he was part of the band, they were known as the Leather Canaries and kicked him out before they became extremely popular.
I'll tell you where the name Steely Dan comes from, but I can't tell you on the show.
That's right.
Oh,
because it's
I know
family
this
show.
Story. Okay. Yes.
It's a British term, yes?
Ish.
Yeah.
We'll just leave it at that.
We'll just leave
so
it at that.
So they weren't
for
a
right
good
now.
Jazz band as the Leather Canaries, so they went on to create like the
so
most
like,
masterful combination of jazz pop fusion ever
right,
known
right.
to.
I don't know.
Humankind.
I kind of put them in the rock category. You don't think they're in the rock?
They
category?
Combine them all.
Okay.
That's
yeah,
what's
they can
so
do it all.
Astonishing. Okay, sorry.
No worries. Our last question from Amy. What mythical creature was born of the blood when Perseus chopped the head off of Medusa, the Gorgon?
Roy Finkenbein.
Oh, where is Roy? He was supposed to be here today, but he is not spawned of blood. No.
Mythical creature.
I'm sure
from
he has
the blood,
blood
of Medusa? Medusa?
Yes. Chopped her head off and her blood spilled and something sprang forth.
Was
it a
like
big snake?
Something to aid Perseus.
Oh.
Was it a winged horse?
It was.
Pegasus.
Pegasus. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Nice
the mobile
work,
sign.
Night work. Okay. Now, Beth, for our new feature, Beth asks questions to the rest of the panel.
Uh-oh.
And even I can try to answer.
Matt reverts to one of us?
That's pretty sneaky.
He's mortal.
Win Ben Stein's money. Beth has prepared some questions.
Well, he could
questions.
Ask them, but then...
I'll just cover my eyes so I don't see what's...
All right. Beth, we need the Jeopardy screens dividing us, that's all.
Oh, wait. I got to get out my pen so
can
I
you center us with a discipline or a
philosophy. Of course.
Okay. Excellent.
So your task here is to identify the philosopher.
Oh, dear. Socrates. Okay. We're done. So at least I'm done.
Okay, number one, we have 10 questions. Do I get to count what's passing?
Well, of course you do.
90%?
90%, yeah.
90%!
You got to get 95% of the points in my class to get an A, which philosopher's school gave us our modern word academics?
Socrates? Was it Aristotle?
What, Jim?
I said Aristotle.
No.
Plato?
Yes.
Oh, Plato. Okay. It was the Academy?
His school outside Athens was called the Academy.
The Academy. That makes sense.
Oh, okay. Across from the McDonald's.
That's right. And the Starbucks.
Who said the unexamined life is not worth living for human beings?
Socrates.
Good.
Okay.
All right.
Very good.
That was the easy one.
I see a pattern here in the answers.
Who argued that the concept of an object that exists independently of our perceptions is unintelligible? Summarized in his famous claim that to be is to be perceived.
Oh, man.
Bishop Berkeley.
It's Berkeley.
Oh, yes. My gosh.
Holy.
Hey, Jim, the ringer.
Definitely not Plato.
You're going to win a pork bun after this. Man, we're going to expand.
Well, you're doing good so far.
You're going to add another notch to your resume along with the Christmas questions, aren't you?
His claim in Latin is cogito ergo sum. Which implies that any attempt to doubt my own existence proves that
Descartes.
I exist.
Descartes.
I think, therefore, I am.
But I couldn't say I think, therefore, I am. I had to give you the Latin.
I thunk before I am.
But it rhymes.
I kind of
rhymes. I have done funk.
He also discovered analytic geometry, so there's a shout-out
That's
out
a
for
big
me.
Deal. Okay. Yeah. Big deal.
Which philosopher's political theory had a profound influence on America's founding fathers? There's more than one.
What was it?
It was John Locke.
Mm-hmm. Yes. He was the first person who came up with Pursuit of Happiness. That's such a great line.
No, he was Life, Liberty, and Property. It was
Life,
Jefferson
Liberty, and
that
property?
Turned it into Pursuit of Happiness.
I thought it was the other way
Pursuit
around.
Of it was Jefferson.
Okay. So when did money come into the picture?
In his Second Treatise of Government, he developed this argument for a natural right to property based upon the amount of labor that you exert on the neutral world of nature.
When you mix your labor with something, it becomes...
However, in his first treatise, he also made the argument that if you have a surplusage of goods and your neighbor is without, your neighbor has a right to your surplusage.
You have to
so
leave as much
the libertarian use of him is way off base.
Right.
Wow.
Okay.
Selectively using him.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
As we do all things.
I would support that. I'm chuckling because most of this country would laugh at that.
Well, you know, we like to claim allegiance to philosophers that we've never actually read. Because, you know, reading the actual
the
text is...
That's how fortune cookies are made.
Too bothersome.
Yeah, well, what happened to people that read Ayn Rand?
Oh, my. No comment.
I'm related to one of them.
Moving on.
Who was excommunicated from his Jewish faith? After arguing that God and reality are the same thing, and
Spinoza?
Died, you didn't even let.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Do we get bonus points for that? Then
he died a poor lens grinder in Amsterdam.
Poor thing.
Oh my gosh. Who was it?
Spinoza.
Spinoza.
Yeah, he came out with the pantheism, and they were like, "No, you don't get to be."
Hold on, what did he die as?
A lens
crafter.
Oh, I thought I said lens crafter. I'm thinking Starbucks, McDonald's.
That's actually where that got started. He started the chain.
So
but died before he could make
it. So where the ice cream comes from? The Baskin Robbins.
Was that Spumoni? Never mind.
I think that we might be starting another bad tradition on this show.
Oh, no.
Okay, Jim, you don't get to answer anymore.
Okay.
I'm just saying. No.
That wasn't part of the rules. You didn't lay out all of your conditions at the beginning.
I know.
It's not a democracy, Dan.
It's a republic.
No, it's a bethocracy.
That's right.
It's anarchy.
Who wrote the first systematic treatise on logic in Western philosophy and is also known as the father of science?
Dr. Science? Oh, no.
No, father science.
Oh, father science.
Pythagoras?
No. Later. A little later than that.
The father of science.
I took down Yarnovich's logic, too.
A little earlier than Galileo.
And this hurt horrible.
Oh, crime.
So earlier or later than
Pythagoras.
Oh. It's not... I mean, I'm going to say things, and you're going to laugh at me because I don't know. It's not Euclid.
No. What?
Is it Aristotle?
It is Aristotle. The big A.
Yay. Cool.
That was way,
okay.
That was way too easy.
Who was whose student? Aristotle studying under?
Socrates.
Plato.
Oh.
Plato. Oh. And tutored. Who did Aristotle tutor?
Alexander the Great.
That makes sense.
Big Al.
Okay, you only have three more to go. Who is famous for arguing that we really have no reason to believe that the sun will rise tomorrow or that the law of gravity will continue to hold?
Karl Rove.
That's right. The Republican math he's doing to make himself feel better.
Now, hold on. Just because the center of the earth is attractive today does not mean that tomorrow...
Go fly apart.
November 2012. Was it Darth Vader Cheney?
A date which will live.
Matter will cease to have gravitational attraction tomorrow.
So is this a modern philosopher?
It sounds like it would be.
Yes, but we have a weird sense of time. Yeah. So modern means 17th century.
Yeah, okay. No. That's, I understand. So Whoa. It's a Renaissance person is the idea. That's about as far as I could have gone.
He's Scottish.
Scottish.
David Hume.
Good.
Hume.
Oh, I'm supposed to not know.
No. You say not the one that you didn't last. Know.
Thanks, Dave. That was great.
Science is as good a way to get knowledge as looking into your magic eight ball. That's the force of Hume skepticism, actually.
Yeah, that's right.
Astrology is just as good as science.
Yeah, so as good as 24 crazy. Hours. If you go to sleep, and who knows what happens after.
The look on your face, Kendra, is exactly how my students look when I teach Hume.
Yeah.
What, you mean that? Was it Leon Spinks like at Spelling Bee kind of thing? Like,
when you roll one billiard ball into another and the second one rolls, you're not seeing the first one cause the motion of the second? No, you're not, actually.
Not according to Hume.
Who dedicates his essay on liberty to his wife, Harriet Taylor?
Ooh, John Stuart Mill.
My hero.
Oh, Mill.
Oh, you're a rural utilitarian?
No.
just
But on liberty is brilliant. Actually, okay.
It is, but I point out to my students that it's based upon an entirely different rationale than the same liberties argued for by our founding fathers.
Oh well, yeah. I mean, it's ultimately a utilitarian argument, but utilitarianism is wrong. We'll just take on liberty by itself.
Thank you, Miss Immanuel Kant.
You're not Marty. You're not a utility. You have, like, some version of divine command theory, right?
Okay, everybody else, into the bunker. We'll let these two fight it out, and we'll come back after the dust settles.
Who said, thoughts without content are empty, intuitions without concepts are blind?
It's got to be Kenneth Starr. It's got to be. Wait, I'm taking this political bent here.
You are. Can you give us a locus of time?
I'm guessing 20th century.
Nope.
No?
18th century.
18th?
Jim just called me Ms. Mm-hmm. This person.
Okay. Oh, can't.
I.K. are his initials.
Immanuel Kant.
Yes.
No, he can. Thanks, Beth, for those questions. That was great.
10 out of 10.
Woo-hoo. One of the rare times Kant even talked about intuitions at all.
Okay, yes.
Power of groupthink.
I think that we definitely have a new tradition. For those who weren't here last week, I brought up to kick things off for our guest, main speaker, which didn't make any sense because I'm usually the host here. But I talked about different units from the world, units of measure that were crazy. And everybody groaned and made fun of those too. So sorry, Beth, and that will continue our tradition of groaning and making fun of whatever questions our colleagues ask.
For the next one, just come in more Beatles questions or...
No, I think you guys should all go look up Aristotle's definition of truth.
I guess we have to.
Way, way behind.
Which is actually correct.
Way, way behind.
Can't I just draw it? It'd be a lot easier for me. Is there a picture book?
Not to say of what is that it is, and to say of what is not that it is to speak truly. Mm-hmm. To say of what is that it is not, and to say of what is not that it is to speak falsely. Pretty Okey-doke. Much the definition of truth we still accept in philosophy.
That left a footprint on my forehead as it went over me. I mean,
so you don't need to read
provided you can rightly perceive what is and is not.
Yeah, we also have to receive. Yeah.
There are a few codicils here that have to be thrown in.
Is that
in.
Part of it, or no? Are you just editorializing?
No, I'm not editorializing. I'm providing what's left out of that definition.
Profs, we have a set of questions here from Anonymous. The
Ooh,
following
anonymous.
Questions...
Are they about philosophy?
They're not.
Oh,
is it about computer hacking?
No. Following questions are based on the book, quote, How the Government Got in Your Backyard, Superweeds, Frankenfoods, Lawn Wars, and the Nonpartisan Truth About Environmental Policies.
Hadn't unquote. Read it yet.
Whoa. Gee,
by Jeff Gilman, Associate Professor in the Department of Horticultural Science at the University of Minnesota, and Eric Heberlig, associate professor of political science at the University of North Carolina at Charlotte.
Well, now we know who Anonymous is.
That's right.
You? Well, no,
one of the two of them.
The questions are from the book. The sender is Anonymous.
This is primarily about the labeling of organic foods. The science is interested in organic foods, pesticides, fertilizers, invasive plants, and global warming touch many agencies and pieces of legislation in the United States. Following are the acronyms for a few of them. Identify what each stands for. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm good at acronyms.
USDA.
United States Department of Agriculture.
One down, many to go.
Oh, dear Lord.
NOP.
National Office of...
Actually, national... I already used an O word that's pretty important to my subdiscipline.
Organic. Pesticides?
Nope.
Produce?
Nope. It's the National Organic Program. Partial credit.
Oh.
Never heard of that one.
The OFPA.
OFPA.
Office.
Federal. Actually, the O is going to be organic and almost.
Organic
Foods.
Food Producer Association?
Close enough. It's the Organic Food Production Act. Yes, okay. It's a piece of legislation. The NOSB.
Wasn't that the backup
National
band for
Organic
Barry White?
National Something Board?
Yes, it's the National Organic Standards Board. Very well.
Standards Board.
I love my TLAs, my three-letter acronyms. See how meta that was?
FDA.
OMG.
OSHA.
Occupational Safety and Health
Administration.
Everybody dropped out on the A. Stick with me, guys.
Administration.
It's administration.
Authority. Yes. Okay.
FEPCA, or FEPCA.
Federal Environmental Protection.
Think. Oh, you're going to have to wait. You're
going
to have to wait till next week. Isn't that horrible? We're going to have to say goodbye now. Professor Evans.
Bye-bye.
Professor Tubbs.
Bye.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Maggio.
Bye.
Professor Roach.
See you next week.
Professor Oljar.
Read philosophy.
And now these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, Ask the Professor.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
1995.
Thank you.
You're After welcome. Whom are Baby Ruth candy bars named?
The president's president.
Kid, that's right. Grover Cleveland's daughter.
Yeah.
Ruth.
Was that an illegitimate
kid? Yes, she's the one that, you know.
Is that where's my pa?
Gone to the White House.
That's right.
No, that was the Kennedy years.
No, that was Grover Cleveland. Mayor of Buffalo. Hey.
But now, aren't the ads trying to make some connection between Babe Ruth and...
Because they're written by idiots.
Oh,
because
they don't know.
That's right, they're stupid
Oh, they're
people.
Not, like, intentionally misleading.
No,
they just don't know.
Stupid people. Oh. Uneducated,
what?
Stupid people.
People in advertisement are stupid, Edwin? Is that
yes.
what you're trying to
Edwin is leaving out the crucial point. They're uneducated, they're stupid, highly paid people.
That's
just
right.
Matt
they are.
But we're not bitter, okay. I'll say
no,
that.
No, not us.
We're too big for that.
We're generous of spirit.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by Adam Winbigler, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.